Clearly knowing daily activities. A basic skill in Vipassana meditation is to acquire the ability to give full or sustained attention to what you are doing as you are doing it. Yet we rarely, if ever, give anything our full attention. At best, it is just partial attention. The consequence of this is faulty intelligence, that is, not being in touch with reality, delusion, or false view. If one does not have the right information, one can misread the experience, live in delusion, and therefore suffer. The writer, Iris Murdoch, wrote, "We live in a fantasy world, a world of illusion. The great task in life is to find reality." Regrettably, for the most part, we live in a shallow, superficial culture that lacks any real depth. Almost everything is geared to allow us to give only partial attention towards what is in front of us. The dominant software company, Microsoft, has coined a phrase for the way we take in the world around us: continuous partial attention. Their products are all geared to be usable under such circumstances. Three or more task windows are open on my computer screen at any time. So we skip from one to the other, just skimming and scanning, which is symptomatic of the rather shallow life the majority of us lead. The task then in this retreat is to turn this around and train oneself to be fully attentive as much as possible. This presence of mind with clear knowing uncovers reality and in good time brings healing and transformation of consciousness. So there is a need to develop the capacity for sustained and close attentiveness of all one's movements and activities down to the minutest details throughout the day. Such dynamic practice of close attentiveness with clear knowing is the key to deepening Vipassana practice, as it intensifies the awareness and exposes the reality of one's own physical and mental phenomena as constantly changing, unsatisfactory, and as just impersonal processes. We cannot pretend that this is easy, as having continuous close attentiveness goes somewhat against the grain. It is not natural to us. The Buddha once described the practice of the Dhamma as going against a stream. As long as one swims with the current of the river, one remains unaware of it. But if one chooses to turn against it, suddenly it is revealed as a powerful, discomforting force. It is said that just prior to the Buddha's enlightenment at the Bodhi tree at Gaya, he floated his alms bowl on the nearby Narangera River. And when the bowl went against the current, he took that as a sign that he would be successful in his aspiration to attain enlightenment. I do not think that we need to take this story so literally, as I see it as more of a metaphor that points to the need to consciously face and explore one's own conditioning and assumptions in order to grow in the Dhamma. The stream refers to the accumulated habit of conditioning. The practice of Dhamma requires us to turn around midstream to observe mindfully and intelligently the forces of conditioning instead of reacting to their promptings. Therefore, we need to make constant effort to train ourselves to do this practice until it is so well established that it has become, as it were, our second nature, that is, it is ingrained. Only then will deeper states of mindfulness develop. It is very informative to read the instructions the Buddha himself gave in the contemplation of the body in the subsection on clearly knowing, Satisampajana, in the text we are following, the four establishments of mindfulness. Quote, "And again, monks, a monk while going forward or while going back, he does so with clear knowing. While looking straight ahead or while looking elsewhere, he does so with clear knowing. While bending or stretching his limbs, he does so with clear knowing. While carrying the alms bowl and wearing the robes, he does so with clear knowing. While eating, drinking, chewing, and savouring, he does so with clear knowing. While urinating or defecating, he does so with clear knowing. While walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking, speaking, or when remaining silent, he does so with clear knowing or full attentiveness. You can see here that the Buddha is emphasizing the continuity of attentiveness or mindfulness of all daily activities with clear knowing of all body movements in great detail, including what you do in the bathroom. Nothing then is too trivial that it is left out. This is the most important set of instructions and the most demanding to follow in the practice of intensive Vipassana meditation. Yet most meditators often find resistance in the mind to being purposely attentive of daily activities and movements. So one has to overcome this disinclination to be mindful by determinedly training oneself until you experience some good feedback that will help you to sustain the practice. From the Buddha's time down to the present, there have been teachers who have suggested practices and strategies that support the attentiveness practice. One of the most prominent of these was the late Mahasi Sayadaw of Myanmar, who recommended and taught a very effective mental naming or noting technique in his book, Practical Exercises in Vipassana Meditation. Quote, "When making bodily movements, the meditator should do slowly, gently moving the arms and legs, bending or stretching them, lowering the head and raising it up. When rising from the sitting posture, one should do so gradually, noting as rising. When straightening up and standing, note as standing. When looking here and there, note as looking, seeing. When walking, note the steps, whether they are taken with the right or the left foot. You must be aware of all successive movements involved from the rising of the foot to the dropping of it. As one goes on noting in this way, one will be able to note more and more of these events. In the beginning, as the mind wanders here and there, one may miss many things, but one should not be disheartened. Every beginner encounters the same difficulty, but as one becomes more skilled, one becomes aware of every act of mind wandering until eventually the mind does not wander anymore. The mind is then riveted on to the object of its attention. The act of mindfulness becomes almost simultaneous with the object of its attention. In other words, the rising of the abdomen becomes concurrent with the act of noting it, and similarly with the rising of the abdomen and all other activities. It is important not to give the mind any chance to slip into its old habitual ways. We are creatures of habit, operating on autopilot a lot of the time, making many unconscious movements and actions. In a retreat situation, there is no need to hurry. In fact, one is encouraged to slow down. Hurrying is an indicator that you have slipped into automatic pilot. So turn off the automatic pilot and use the manual controls by consciously and deliberately noting all your actions throughout the day. Effort has to be made in this practice, but the effort you make is to be in the moment, while being intimate with and fully attentive to whatever you are doing as you are doing it. The beginner is advised to start by keeping a thread of awareness on a particular action throughout the day. For example, naming the walking movement as walking without a break. Whenever the mind wanders into the noting of the walking to a secondary object, such as thinking, seeing, hearing, mind state, then note the object that has taken your attention before going back to the noting of walking. Then combine the noting of the walking with the noting of sitting, standing, and lying down, being especially attentive to the transition movements between each posture. Take at least one activity during the day, such as eating, and taking your time, try to do it 100%, finding the minutest detail. When you are eating, all the senses are activated: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. So try and note all the physical movements, as well as the biting, chewing, tasting, swallowing, and savouring. This detailed noting is dynamic and intensifies the momentary concentration that results in a more in-depth experience. The practice then of full awareness is not a superficial, casual observation, as one must deeply penetrate the object under observation. Presence is combined with clear, sustained comprehension. That is, one must see the specific characteristic of the phenomena, the subtle and fine nuances and the minutest details of the movement, without identifying with the limb. Close and sustained attention is the key to the practice. Maintaining close attentiveness for, say, 75% of daily activities for at least 3 to 4 hours in the day will carry over and increase the fluency of the practice in the formal sitting and walking sessions. The benefit of this precise and detailed noting is that it will increase and intensify the momentary concentration that is needed to insight deeper into the mind-body phenomena. For meditators whose practice of full attentiveness has matured, they will be able to note or know nearly all their movements and actions, whatever is prominent in their experience, including the specific characteristics of the movements for most, if not all, of the day. Then they will discover that what appears to be one continuous movement is actually a series of individual discontinuous movements. Such as an insight exposes the illusion of continuity. While this practice is not a slow motion exercise per se, it cannot be emphasized enough that the meditator must slow down all bodily movements as much as possible in order to be aware of the subtleties of the movement. A benefit that is not so much appreciated from attentive training is that with presence of mind, the mind is wholesome. Concentration can then be increased more effectively and insight will follow. Therefore, you will feel good as you are freed from anxiety and worry and experience the blessing of being in the present moment. Having established and habituated the practice of full attention with clear knowing in the supportive condition of a retreat environment, one has the potential to integrate this mindfulness training into everyday life. The benefits of an ongoing practice of mindfulness in daily living are that it will bring about an increase in well-being for oneself, and it harmonizes as well one relationships with others.